It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent RodHunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. Our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. Yes, for the theme of my radio show, I have picked the two forbidden dinner table conversations. You know what it's like? You're at the table, you're talking about religion, or you're talking about politics, and all of a sudden you hear, "Can we just change the subject? We are at the dinner table." Well, I don't know if you're listening from the dinner table or not, but if you are, we will not shy away from such topics on this program. And what better way to get things rolling than with our Joe Biden update? President Joe Biden has been quite vocal lately about Republicans and conservatives in general, and of course, Trump supporters more specifically. In September, he said to the Democratic National Committee, "Democracy itself is on the ballot in November." First of all, as with so many matters, our brilliant president doesn't seem to know that our forefathers set up the United States not as a democracy, but as a representative republic. Oh, of course, we see democracy sprinkled in and out as time has gone on. There have been some laws passed by states through ballot measures voted upon by the people, not the legislature, and such particular procedures are examples of pure democracy, at least until they get overturned by the courts. As for putting leaders into office, yes, that too is a democratic-like process, but once they take office, we are trusting them, not the population, but them to make law and seek our common good. We, as citizens, do not make national law, and for that reason, we are a republic, not a democracy. I once heard a great illustration of the difference between a democracy and a republic. We've seen scenes like this in Western movies, Hang 'em High, and many others. A man is camping. He's awakened by a posse of about 12 men who think he fits the description of a cattle rustler who also shot and killed a rancher. They decide that without a trial, they are simply going to hang him themselves. They are going to lynch him. But before they string him up, they choose to make it a fair democratic process. They take a vote. 10 men raise their hands, voting to hang him. 2 are opposed. The ayes have it. He's going to be lynched. But suddenly, the sheriff, who had organized the posse and taken a different route from the others, rides in. When he hears what they plan to do, he says, "Nothing doing. This man is innocent until proven guilty. He deserves a fair trial." "But we voted on it, Sheriff. Majority rules." "No," the sheriff says. "Majority does not rule. This badge that I'm wearing rules. I may be only one man, but I wear a badge which represents a trust to our community, and my obligation is to both follow the law and enforce the law. The law supersedes your election." That, my friends, is the difference between a democracy and a republic. Now, Very important. A republic is only a good republic, is only a real republic if it's kept in check by a good constitution. Otherwise, we have the People's Republic of China. To say that President Biden shows a lack of respect for the constitution with every new policy of his is to make the understatement of two centuries. Not that Biden is unaware of the constitution. He seems vaguely aware. He has heard that there exists a paper document of some kind that our country is supposed to be abiding by, kind of, sort of. However, the Constitution only seems important to him when he wants to blame Trump supporters for not following it. Here are his words. MAGA Republicans do not respect the Constitution. They did not believe in the rule of law. They did not recognize the will of the people. They refused to accept the results of a free election. Joe, wanting to make sure an election is fair is not refusing the rule of law. On the contrary, it is challenging whether or not the rule of law was being followed. Your party did that the entire 4 years Trump was in office. They refused to accept the results of an election. Are you admitting that your party does not respect the Constitution? And Joe, getting back to the 2020 election for a moment, when six states all at once stopped counting ballots, states where Trump was ahead, and the next morning a whole slew of votes start pouring in, and they're for you instead of Trump by an amazing, incredible coincidence? Well, people have a right to at least ask questions. And what about the states which, prior to the 2020 election, changed their own election laws in ways that violated the Constitution? That wasn't even a question. That was a fact. I thought you said the Constitution should be followed, Joe. But you don't really believe that, do you? Neither does your administration. Neither does your party. Is the Constitution being obeyed when we allow sanctuary cities? Is the Constitution being obeyed when we allow open borders? Is the Constitution being followed when the Second Amendment is gutted with all kinds of gun restriction laws? And what about the First Amendment? Is the First Amendment being followed when conservative speakers aren't allowed on college campuses? Is the First Amendment being followed when the FBI works with Facebook to limit free speech before an election? Is the First Amendment being followed when the President of the United States is kicked off Twitter? Is the First Amendment being followed when parents are labeled terrorists for speaking out at PTA meetings? Is the First Amendment being followed when a Christian baker or Christian photographer are sued because they don't believe in participating in gay weddings? Is the First Amendment being followed when taking such a stance on gay weddings is labeled hate speech? Is the First Amendment being followed when churches are told not to assemble due to COVID? The right to assembly, the right to speech, the right to your own religious beliefs, they're all in the First Amendment, but none of them are in your administration. And how about the separation of powers, also talked about in the Constitution, with the Supreme Court being a separate branch from the other two branches? How will the court be anything other than an extension of Democrat legislatures if you pack the courts with as many justices as you want? Pack them until you get the result that you want. Or forget the judicial. What about the difference between the legislative branch and the executive? How many laws have you brought about through executive orders? The Constitution does not give you the right to create law. Executive orders are for the purpose of enforcing laws. Mark Levin, radio commentator and Fox News commentator, he said it perfectly. He says, this executive order on the Keystone Pipeline, the Fifth Amendment, that's part of the Bill of Rights, it's the taking clause. A president cannot steal somebody's property without remuneration. We have the Equal Protection Clause in the Fifth Amendment that applies to the feds, the 14th Amendment that applies to the states, Equal Protection Clause. He signs an executive order that promotes race-based discrimination throughout the federal departments and agencies. That's clearly in violation of equal protection. I love Mark Levin. I'm a big fan. He has my respect. But I can't resist reading at least some of this in a way similar to his whiny, tangy voice. He assigns another executive order destroying women's sports in this country for biological females. Again, violates the Equal Protection Clause of the 5th and 14th Amendment of the Constitution. You said it, Mark. Mr. Biden, getting back to the parts of the Constitution that mandate election laws and allow for states to determine some of their own procedures, you're trying to get rid of that with your so-called voter protection bill, forcing states to do mail-in balloting and forbidding states to ask for ID. One doesn't even have to identify himself as an American citizen before voting, and that is in accordance with our Constitution? Joe, Let me put this in the only words you seem to understand. Come on, man, give us a break. Actually, I'm tired of those words because they have become so associated with you, so let me use my own words instead. Joe, you manage our country like a thoughtless, mindless, blithering idiot who wouldn't even qualify for dog catcher, let alone president of the free world. You're a pathological liar, a political opportunist, a crook, and a walking, talking blowhard. You approach our Constitution the same way you sniff the back of a woman's neck. It is you who does not respect the rule of law. It is you who does not abide by our Constitution. I'm not saying you'll someday go down in history as the worst president we ever had. I'm saying you have already gone down in history as the worst president we ever had. I only hope civilization survives so that future generations can even study history. They will marvel over how a man like you ever got into office. Had they only made you a middle school hall monitor, history would marvel just as much. This is Bob Siegel, making the obvious obvious.
Call Bob now at 888-344-1170. That's toll free, 888-344-1170. Bob may have strong opinions, but he also likes to hear what you have to say.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
I'm reading from Fox News. Hillary Clinton likened Donald Trump's rally in Ohio last weekend to Adolf Hitler courting Nazis, a comparison that drew a sharp rebuke from a spokesman for the former president. I remember as a young student, you know, trying to figure out how people get basically brought in by Hitler. How did that happen? I'd watch newsreels, and I'd see this guy standing up there ranting and raving and people shouting and raising their arms. I thought, what's happened to these people? Clinton said at the Texas Tribune Festival in Austin. You saw the rally in Ohio the other night. Trump is there ranting and raving for more than an hour, and you have these rows of young men with their arms raised. I thought, what is going on? Oh, yeah? Well, now I'm thinking, what is going on? What is going on when we hear a comment like that in America? Yes, that was a quotation. Those were the words of Hillary Clinton, former Secretary of State and presidential candidate in the land of freedom. And you heard her compare those who cheered her opponent in the last election race to Nazis. Charming. Always charming. One of the finest high-class acts ever to grace our country. Hillary, you don't mind if I call you Hillary, do you? I feel like we've all gotten to know you so well, mostly because you just won't go away. Hillary, over the years, I have seen speech after speech, your speeches, with you shouting and raising your hands in the air and ranting and raving. I didn't like that, but that never made me think of you as a Nazi any more than I would accuse a vegetarian of being a Nazi simply because Hitler was a vegetarian, or accuse an environmentalist of being a Nazi simply because Hitler loved the forest. Hillary, let me tell you what really sounds like the Nazis. Socialism, for one. That's what the word Nazi actually stood for. National Socialist Party. Yes, socialism, as in redistribution of wealth, pitting rich against poor to come into power. The Nazis also believed in euthanasia and eugenics. Margaret Sanger, champion of the left and founder of Planned Parenthood, actually published an article by Hitler's eugenicist. And why not? She, too, was a racist who believed in inferior and superior breeds, blacks being inferior. Have you ever compared Sanger to a Nazi? Probably not. She's the darling of the pro-choice movement that surrounds you. Have you compared your own Democratic Party to Nazis? A party which, for the most part, most of them would not vote for the born-alive infant protection laws? A party that loves to mask the practice of abortion as being about women's rights, all the while ignoring the rights of the baby women, including baby women actually born as a result of botched-up abortions, and now there are places that want to put those babies to death since the abortion had been the intention. I haven't heard you complain about that, Hillary, but such practices sound very Nazi-like to me because they mimic what the real, honest-to-goodness Nazis did. How about anti-Semitism? That one was big with the Nazis. That was huge with the Nazis. Shall I go on to talk about the anti-Semitism in your party from the likes of Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib? What about the anti-Israeli pro-Palestinian policies of Obama and the way he treated Benjamin Netanyahu when he came over to visit and the deals Biden now tries to make with Iran, which sell Israel up the river? Donald Trump was the most pro-Israel president we have ever had, but you compare him to the anti-Semitic Nazis. Madam, if Trump is a Nazi, your husband is a monk. By the way, why did you invite Trump to your daughter's wedding if he's so despicable? I'll tell you why. In those days, he was not yet a political threat to you personally, so you were free to see him as he really was. He had not yet run for president and beat you. You, who said you would be gravely concerned if Trump did not accept the results of the 2016 election. You said that in the middle of a debate. Easy to say when you were so sure you were going to win, but when you lost, you refused to accept the results. The entire 4 years Trump was in office. Now, your party labels as terrorists any who won't accept the election results of 2020. Such tactics seem familiar somehow. Oh yeah, it's the kind of stuff the Nazis did. And how about Gestapo tactics, such as a weaponized FBI, which wouldn't go after you and your proven criminal activity unless hell froze over, but who goes after the political opponents of our current administration? You see, Hillary, these are all the real Nazi beliefs. These are all the real Nazi tactics. These are all the real Nazi standards. And I would expect them from the party of slavery, Jim Crow laws, and segregation. Will the real Nazis please stand up? Well, don't just sit there, Hillary. Get up. Take a bow. You deserve it. You wanted to make a place for yourself in history. You're making it all right. This is Bob Siegel also making something. I'm making the obvious. Obvious. We'll be right back. This is Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated. License number 480-539, W&S Electric.
Looking for a book you won't be able to put down? Push the Winds Around is a romance set in the context of science fiction. Dr. Brandon Krieger is given the opportunity of a lifetime, a psychologist's dream. Through the usage of his physics professor friend's time machine, Brandon travels 20 years back through time in an attempt to change one man's destiny. Tom Kyle, a convicted and unremorseful murderer, is located in the past when he was a 6-year-old boy. Brandon's mission? To alter Tom Kyle's path and prevent him from being a vicious killer. Matters are complicated when Brandon finds himself falling in love with young Tom's mother. Push the Winds Around, a novel by Bob Siegel. Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
From the Associated Press. Headline: Doctors may be disciplined for spreading COVID lies. Gee, do you think the Associated Press, that objective pillar of journalism, put their opinion right in the headline? They didn't write alleged lies. It's a done deal before we're even done reading the headline. Anyway, here's what they have to say. And it's about good old sunny California. Doctors who spread coronavirus lies could be disciplined for unprofessional conduct in California under a law signed Friday by Governor Gavin Newsom. The bill, AB 2098, introduced by Democratic Assembly member Evan Lowe, said the spread of disinformation about vaccines has weakened public confidence and placed lives at serious risk. The bill's language says that the Federation of State Medical Boards has warned that physicians who spread misinformation or disinformation risk losing their medical license and have a duty to provide their patients with accurate, science-based information. That was from the Associated Press. Wow! This is huge news! When did Gavin Newsom become a doctor? I know he thinks he's king. I know his theism is mostly based on the belief that he himself is God, but when did he also become a doctor? And when did the other clowns in Sacramento become doctors with him? My friends, there are countless physicians, peer-reviewed, award-winning, long respected in their field, who had problems with the masks, problems with the vaccine, who had no problem prescribing drugs that were proven to help with COVID, but drugs that were being denounced by all the mainstream talking points. I read nothing in this law which says that the state government is going to prove to the public through any kind of open debate that these doctors who deviated from the PC norm are in fact disseminating false information. In other words, they're going to be accused. It's not going to be proven. Just another example of how liberals scream about the Constitution but have no real use for it. No, my friends, liberals are not liberal. They're not liberating. They are instead suppressive, the very opposite of the word liberal. Let's review our liberal freedoms in California and some of the liberal freedoms from their cousins across the country. Doctors are now being told what to prescribe or what not to prescribe. At the moment, it's in COVID-specific language, but tyrants are never satisfied. Once they get a taste of power, no amount of power is ever enough. Once they control part of your life, they won't rest until they control all of your life. So what happens when a bill is passed commanding doctors to help people change their genders or to not speak against that? You don't think that one's coming soon around the pike? Think again. And it's not just about doctors and their freedoms. The San Diego Board of Supervisors has already passed a resolution against anyone speaking disinformation. Disinformation being defined as anything the left does not agree with. Soon, the sale of gas-powered vehicles will be against the law in California. And don't forget, the very same week they announced that law, they asked us not to drive our electric cars because it might put too much strain on the power grid. And it wasn't long ago that pastors were told that they could not hold church services. They want to command your religious beliefs. They want to tell you how much energy you can use. They're starting to talk about eating bugs instead of meat. They want to tell you what to eat. They want to tell you what to drink. They want to tell you what to think. So what can we do about this? Well, vote. Voting is not yet illegal, although the day will probably come when they won't allow you to vote if you haven't been vaccinated. Of course, even voting at the moment is only a shot in the dark. They have also fixed our elections by passing laws about mail-in balloting that are just ripe for cheating. Well, vote anyway, but when you vote, pray. Pray that your vote counts, because prayer, at the end of the day, is the only hope we have left. This is Bob Siegel making the obvious obvious.
Hi, I'm Dana Wright, here to talk about Bob Siegel's book, I'd Like to Believe in Jesus, But... The title itself is an open-ended question. You fill in the rest. I'd like to believe in Jesus, but... Is there really proof for the resurrection of Christ? How could a loving God send people to hell? How will God judge people who never heard of Jesus? Can a scientific mind really accept miracles? These are but some of the concerns keeping honest seekers from considering Christianity. In an interesting, down-to-earth style, Bob tackles the hardest, most painfully honest questions. Rather than shoving these topics under the rug, Bob shows respect for his readers by providing detailed and compelling explanations. This book has been enjoyed by both skeptics and Christians alike. I'd Like to Believe in Jesus, But... by Bob Siegel. Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Always good to be joined over the air by my producer, Brendan Thomas. Brendan, how are you doing this evening?
I am doing fantastic. I have some awesome news to start things off.
Okay.
For us today. The San Diego Padres were able to beat the Los Angeles Dodgers Saturday night. Mark this down on your calendar, everybody. October 15th. And they beat them 5-3, winning the series 3-1 for the division series. That means they get to go to the league championships. If they win that, then they get to go to the World Series. And this is one big event for San Diego.
Okay, now I already asked Dave Stahl, who does the program before ours. I'm going to ask you now, too. What do you honestly think their chances are of making it all the way to the World Series?
So here's what I thought first when we got into the playoffs. I thought for sure the Mets were going to sweep the Padres. Easy. I didn't think we had the players to do this or the skills. But no, they actually were able to get to, I think it was game three of that series, which was really, really hard and difficult. But we were able to pull through. Then I realized, oh, then now we got to go through the Dodgers. And that's going to be another hassle because we can't even beat the Dodgers in the regular season. But we persevered, we pulled through, and we won the series 3-1. I'm going to say San Diego Padres still struggle a bit here. I'm going to go, they do Padre things. I'm going to say they lose to the Phillies. But keep in mind, I kept saying, oh, they're going to get swept by the Mets. Oh, they're going to get swept by the Dodgers. And look where they are now. They're in the National League Championships. This is the first time they have been to the National League Championship since 1998. I was 2 years old. I was about to be three, but I was 2 years old when that happened. So that is insane. I couldn't be happier for the team. This was a whole crazy postseason for the Padres. I don't know if you've heard. During that last Mets game, game three, they were checking one of our pitchers, Joe Musgrove, who's from here in San Diego. He actually grew up in El Cajon and he went to Grossmont High School. So he's playing for his home team here. He had really wet ears during his game and they checked his ears to see if there was anything on it. And that started the whole Eargate internet meme that happened. And then during the Dodgers game, it was game two, I believe, between the Padres and the Dodgers. A wild goose just randomly landed in Dodger Stadium right there and had to delay the game for so long. And that's why there's a huge San Diego goose.
Goose can be mean creatures,
too. Oh, absolutely.
We think of Mother Goose rhymes. Real geese, they're mean little suckers.
I know. And we took that over. We said, oh, we're the San Diego goose then. And so we have goose shirts, goose dolls, all that stuff. And then this last game, there was a drone that just came down out of nowhere, delayed the game like 5 to 10 minutes. So I was worried like, uh-oh, if Los Angeles wins, they're going to take over the Los Angeles drones or something like that. But no, we pulled through and I am very, very happy for the Padres. I really hope they can beat the Phillies. We have a better record than the Phillies.
So you hope they can beat the Phillies, but you think
the Phillies are going to win, yeah.
Of course, the good news is if you mess up, you just have good company with Jim Barry.
I guess so.
You two can console each other and be buddies over it.
Did you see Jim's post everywhere? Oh my gosh, he was so happy for the same.
Put it on Facebook?
Yeah, he put it everywhere.
I haven't seen it.
It's so nice to read those comments and everything. So again, shout out to the Padres. It's well deserved. And again, let's go beat those Phillies, hopefully. We'll see. Some other local sports news I wanted to quickly go over very quickly. The San Diego Way Football Club. This is their women's soccer team that we have. This is their first league in the National Women's Soccer League, and they already made it to the playoffs. They have the third best record, and their first playoff game is actually happening tonight in about 23 minutes. So I know it's kind of dated here. So if you're going to the game, have fun, stay safe out there, and we're really proud of you.
And are these all real women, or are there some men calling themselves women?
No, they're all real women.
Real, honest to goodness, women's sports the way the good Lord intended women's sports to be.
You know what? I was listening to, I can't remember. I think it was Dennis Prager, and he mentioned, I never really thought of it till later, but he was mentioning how transgenders is going into women's sports. This is actually hindering women's rights. I never thought of it that way.
Of course, I completely blinked on that.
And
yet most of the feminists have been completely silent about this because they get this politically correct list that they darn well better adhere to.
I know.
But it's one of the greatest assaults on women's rights, not just in being taken out of place at sporting events, but the discomfort. Can you imagine a woman having to undress in front of a man in a locker room, because he says he identifies as a woman.
It's insane. It doesn't need critical thinking to realize, wow, that is actually really hindering.
Seriously question how many people in our country believe in this, as opposed to the ones that are just afraid to open their mouths like the emperor's new clothes.
Yes, exactly. So good luck for the San Diego Wave. Our star player Alex Morgan may not play. She was injured, although she was at the San Diego Padres game 2 days ago, so I have to question that injury. But she's a San Diego Wave player, so I guess I gotta give it her a pass. And then lastly, for one more sports story, San Diego Loyal, which is our men's team, and don't worry, yes, they are strictly men, not the whole, that whole situation.
It probably doesn't work the other way. Probably a biological female is
something
not going
like
to do
that
as well on a male team.
Right,
I'm probably
right.
Making some woman angry saying that.
Well, the San Diego Loyal Soccer Club, they're going to be playing their first playoff game next week, actually, and that game's going to start at 5:30. So go Loyals, go Waves, and go Padres. Shout out to everybody there. All right, I just looked up this one story just now, and I didn't get to tell you before we.
Oh, that's quite all right.
Yeah.
Don't mind doing things off the fly.
It's a mix of good news, but then ridiculous news right afterwards. Dr. Anthony Fauci is in the news, and he has announced that he is stepping down in December. That's the good news.
Yeah, that's wonderful news.
That's good news. Bad news. They asked him a very legit question. Do you admit at fault for closing down the school system? Because we heard at the top of the hour of the news break that ACT scores are the lowest in over 30 years now. And so, and there's many factors that go into it, especially the closure of schools. That is the number one reason, in my opinion. And he goes, and I quote, "I don't want to use the word mistake for closing the schools, because if I do, it gets taken out of the context so that you're asking me the question on. We should realize and have realized that there will be a deleterious collateral consequences when you do something like that." But isn't it his fault that the schools closed? He is the head of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease. He was the face of this whole COVID situation. He was the one that suggested that we should.
Of course it was his fault, but just to be fair to him, it's also the fault of the people that just blindly did everything this guy said.
Yeah.
Even when I thought he was sincere, I was saying, okay, he's a man who means well. I no longer feel that way. But at the time, I thought he means well. But even then, I said, I don't remember electing this guy to any office, and yet he's shutting down our whole country. All he has to do is say boo, and people do exactly what he says. And how many times did he change his mind? You can still find the video where he said masks are a waste of time. Then he comes back a few months later and tells us to wear the mask. And if you put the first video up on Facebook, they'll take it down because it has disinformation in it.
Right.
Disinformation from Anthony Fauci.
Or if he, or like any other politician, if he's really at fault for something, he'll deflect the blame on President Trump instead. Oh, no, no, he was in control. He has that.
Trump was the one who kept saying, I just hope the cure doesn't end up being worse than the disease.
Exactly.
But Trump also knew that he would be impeached if he didn't go along with that. Of course, they impeached him anyway.
But he's quick to put the blame on Trump every single time.
Oh, it's easy to blame. If Fauci got struck by a bolt of lightning, the country would blame Donald Trump.
Exactly. So there's your Dr. Fauci. I want to get away from Dr. Fauci as soon as possible. So that's our Dr. Fauci news for the day.
We all want to get away from Dr. Fauci as soon as possible.
If there was some kind of cricket sound effect I can do right now for Dr. Fauci sound, I would do that right now. Anyways, let's move on to other national news before I get back into the state, actually. CBS did a poll, and it's showing that there's going to be a Republican wave coming into the House now, of the House of Representatives, which is, again, pretty good news in my opinion.
A lot of pollsters are saying that. Some pollsters are trying not to. I don't trust every poll, but I don't even think you need a poll to just take the temperature of the country right now.
Right, right. I personally think we need a change in every single part of our legislature for sure. Because right now it's full. It's all the way blue right now for the House, but I'm glad to see that this red wave's coming in.
Yeah, they don't seem to be as certain about the Senate, but a lot of people think we'll barely maybe take the Senate, but they're very sure about the House.
I'm very surprised about the Senate being that 50-50 with a lot of polls. Like, it's a very consistent poll.
Well, you got to remember, with the Senate, only one third of them are up for re-election at a time. With the House, everybody in there is up for re-election. If every single Democratic senator in the Senate right now was up for re-election, I think they'd be predicting a wave in the Senate as
right,
well.
Right. Well, let's go over some of the results in this CBS poll. Like you said, you might not agree, but I think this is actually pretty good news in terms of having some kind of change in here. So CBS is predicting that 224 Republican candidates will win their incumbents, and then CNN actually predicts even higher at 239. I don't know if they're trying to scare their viewers or something, saying, look, this is going to happen. You got to step in and vote. Anyway, so let's see what other things are here. They asked, what if opposing party has gained majority? How would you feel? Democrats voted 50% angry, 39% disappointed, and 11% happy. Republicans, on the other hand, are 53% angry, 40% disappointed, and 9% happy. But what I'm going to get at is here is Republicans are very stick to their ways, and I like that more. You'll see here as I read on with more of these results, the Democrats are feeling kind of iffy about how their party is going. Here's another good one. Top words to describe your party. Republicans, extreme, reasonable, strong, and effective. Those are their top four. Democrats, top two, I want to point out, is extreme and weak. That, if you're a Democrat, that's got to open some eyes.
That's a bad combination, because they're weak on their foreign policy, but extreme on their domestic policy.
Exactly.
That's a nightmare scenario.
If you're a Democrat, open your eyes a bit. This is getting kind of scary.
Now, my real question is, if the Republicans take back the House, are they going to go after some of those downright criminals? Because if they do, they're going to be accused of a witch hunt, as if we haven't been watching a witch hunt
right
this last year over the January 6th stuff.
Exactly, yeah. And on top of that, that too. Or actually, let me continue on with more of the results and then I can comment on what you were commenting earlier. The other one I wanted to point out, this was a flipped poll here. They asked Democrats how they felt Republican policies did to the economy. 42% of them said they helped, 33 said it harmed, and 25 said it made no difference. But the other one I want to point out is then the Democrats voted for themselves too here. How have the Democrats helped the economy? 48% of Democrats said that it harmed, and then 29% helped, and 23% no difference. So it shows that Democrats are not getting the support from their voters either there, because they mostly thought that their economic policies actually harmed the economy more than it actually helped. And they actually think the opposite way. They think that Republican candidates have helped.
I don't think you need to be an MIT graduate to come up to that conclusion.
Last two ones I want to point out are about Biden, unfortunately, again. Woohoo. How much is Biden at fault for the economy? And this is based off of both Democrat and Republican votes. 45% say a lot, 26% say some, and 20% say a little, and 8% not at all. But definitely Biden's the main one to be blamed for this economy and how it's been tanking.
And you notice how with gas, when the gas prices are going up, he says it's not his fault and there's nothing he can do. When they go down, he's quick to grab the credit for
absolutely
it.
One more I want to point out is what has caused higher prices and inflation rates to go up, in your opinion. And this is, again, based off of both Republican and Democratic views. Number one on that list are Democratic policies at 63%. Again, not surprised in the slightest, and it just shows
I'm just glad and hopeful that so many people are waking up and the Democratic true colors are showing.
I mean, I'm one of them. Here I am. I will admit there were some people I voted that were on the Democratic side because I was like, okay, I don't like what we're doing
locally.
That's
okay. We'll still talk to you, Brandon.
Thank you.
Not a problem.
I don't like what we're doing locally. I think we need to change things up a bit. Now, on a national scale, it's a different story entirely. But on a local scale, I voted some people Democratic there because I was feeling, oh, we should change some things in here because I feel, again, the riots really scared me the most out of everything here. So that's what really got my eyes.
Well, those were pretty scary for a lot of people.
Exactly. So that's what really influenced my decision on that vote last time.
But you thought a Democrat would be better on the race?
I thought so, but
I was hearing Democrats say, oh, we're just going to let them blow off a little. It's mostly a peaceful protest.
Apparently so. So here I am again just saying, okay, I understand that we need change. And
well, Brandon, just to make you feel better, I was a registered Democrat for many years. Now, I must say, I always voted Republican while I was a Democrat.
Yes.
But I stayed in the party just to shake them up, but they've turned so horrible, I can't even do that anymore. So in a few years ago, I re-registered, and now I'm not a Republican either. I'm an independent.
Yeah, me too here. Yes. So one last story I want to read because we do have a caller on the line. I want to just do this very fun story for the both of us here because we're both science fiction fans. Personally, I'm more of a Star Wars fan than a Star Trek fan, which is
I like both of them, but yeah. Yes, I would give the nod. Not, I'm not talking about the new PC Star Treks, the classic Star Treks.
I want to go visit this. There's a bakery up in the Bay Area that has made a bread replica of Han Solo trapped in carbonite. So, you know, that scene
from the Empire Strikes Back.
It took them 8 weeks to build it and shape it, and it looks really, really awesome. So if you ever get the chance,
and is anybody going to eat it? It's at a bakery.
I would hope not.
I've always wondered what carbonite tastes like, so there is a curiosity factor.
Oh man, it tastes
here.
Really stale. Ugh, I get some butter on this thing. But anyways, thank you so much for letting me stay.
It's
of
always
stories.
A pleasure to have you on the air with us. You do a great job as producer. I want people to get to hear you this side of the microphone too.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much. So let's get on to our caller right now, I think. Paulette, are you there?
Hello, I'm here.
Hi, Paulette. Welcome to our program.
Well, hello, Bob. I think I know you. I'll just keep it at that. I'm very aware of everything you've said. I agree with everything you said. We got a crazy world going on. We got a crazy government going on. We need a lot of voters to turn out this midterms. We are the people, right? And we are the ones who can make the difference in this lifetime. That's all we have. So, I don't know. I'm not used to being an LA and stuff. So, just too much going on. Disturbances. Yeah, I call it that. Idiotic stuff. Yeah, they all are. We need to take back the lives of all children, the lives of all of us. We need to take back our freedoms. We need to take back what the government doesn't deserve. They don't own us, okay? They work for us, not the other way around. That's all I can say.
I don't think they got the memo, though, Paulette. I think they believe that they do own us.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. I was trying to tell people that the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, they know darn well about it, and they're using against us, and obviously too many people are sleeping. They'd rather sleep away their lives and rather focus you know, I'm one of those kind, I don't like to be cut off guard with stuff. And I'm sorry, I'm a very angry individual when it comes to things, and I refuse to be the one-minded individual. I have a mind of my own, thank you, Lord. And I'm not going to follow what they want me to do. So I think people need to wake up to reality or it's too late. I've tried to get people involved in voting, but, you know, they think like, oh, well, you know, they'd rather be off the radar. But you know what? I've told you time and time again. Now you got kids. That's your kids' future. All right. You do what you gotta do, but I can only do so much. It angers me to know I'm living on my 49 years old, I'll be 50 in March, and it's like, wow, are you kidding me? I have never seen anything in my lifetime like this. Yeah, we are headed to socialism. We are headed to communism. And I'll tell you right now, Bob, I will not ever be the mind of one individual. I am my own. I believe in my Lord Jesus. I believe in Christ. I believe he saved all of us. And I'm not ever going to fall for these idiots. They're all idiots. And you know what? They sold themselves to the devil and all the stuff they're doing. It's disgusting and it's evil.
They will certainly stand accountable before God someday, but hopefully they'll stand accountable at our next election as well.
Well, you know what? I think as long as the Padres, I was just talking to somebody today, I said, you know what? The Padres are in a winning phase right now. I said to them, you know what? What would it be in California alone, just alone? The Padres win the World Series. We win the midterms all nationwide. What a good thing that would be. Boom. Like a blast of like, wow. You know, California has been very spiritually broken. It's not the place I ever wanted to be. But just to think that the Padres are winning, and you know what? I pray to God that this might be a good thing. It might be a darn good thing. And if we commit the midterms on top of all that, I mean, can you think of a world of like, wow, beyond like too much? But good too much. That would be awesome. That's all I got to say.
Okay.
The world's insane, but yeah.
Well, thank you very much, Paulette. Thank you for calling in. God bless you.
No, God bless you too, sir. Thank you, sir.
Well, do you have time for another one of your stories, Brandon?
Absolutely,
do we have a few more minutes here?
Yeah, absolutely. So let's go back into some of the state stories very quickly. Digital license plates have officially been approved by the California DMV. State government actually voted on this as an alternative for metal plates now. This is one of their really high-end ideas about trying to make the earth a little bit more friendly with cars and everything. Once again, though, this digital plate thing, I'm afraid people can hack into that thing so they could switch up their license plate and do even more illegal activities. And B, this license plate is connected to your battery, which once again, may I point out the fact that these batteries are more environmentally unfriendly than what you're doing in your car right now in general. I don't understand.
We do not have the resources or the power to have that many battery-driven cars.
Yep.
It's just insane.
Yep. And again, we will point this out every single week until politicians can get it in their heads that solar and wind does not create enough power for these cars to charge up, especially the amount of electric vehicles that you're wanting to sell by then. And also, may I point out too, that California is no longer now the only state that's going to be trying to sell EV cars. Washington has just passed a bill.
Well, there's an old saying, as California goes, so goes the nation.
Exactly.
So we're usually the first idiotic state to try something.
I know. And not surprised that it's Washington and New York, both very blue states that are trying to push this EV whole situation again too. So, but Washington's doing it a little bit more drastically. They're like, oh, we're going to do it by 2030. I'm like, that's very high expectations.
Well, and who's to say that California won't change its mind and up it to sooner as well? They can do anything they want.
I personally, if you're going to do this, push it back further. And even then, I would say, let's not do it in the first place. That would be my opinion on the whole matter. And you know who needs to get some blame here too are car dealerships themselves, the car manufacturers, because they're all going into this EV direction. They don't have to.
Well, they're thinking that that's the only way they can possibly stay in business. They're thinking they don't have any choice. Maybe if they all got together, though, united front and said, we will not cooperate with this. It might make a difference.
And I get it. California is the third biggest economy in the entire world, but more and more people are leaving California. I mean, not to get into celebrity gossip, but Mark Wahlberg has announced that he's leaving California and he's moving his family out to Nevada. And he says, for quote, less taxes and regulations on my individual rights.
Mark Wahlberg would probably rather live on a real Planet of the Apes than stay in California.
Is that a joke because he was in the remake of the Planet?
Yes.
That was a terrible remake compared to the
original. I loved
the original
Planet of the Apes movies. I did not care for those. Now, I only saw the first remake.
Yeah,
I heard that some were better later, but the one that I saw, I couldn't stand it.
You might like the newer remake ones, in all honesty. I personally don't like...
remakes are a bad idea. Unless it was a bad movie already and they remake it and make it good, but it's usually a movie that was good and loved, and that's what they always want to remake and ruin.
Right. So, personally, I would... you might not like the effects in the newer remakes because I like the practical ones better in the original. And again, that ending, it's just so iconic for the original Planet of the Apes. I mean...
Nothing like Charlton Heston cussing out the Statue
That's right. So, well, unfortunately, Bob, again, we have made it to the end of the show tonight.
And, Brandon, it's always a pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right. This is Bob Siegel making the obvious obvious.
Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by the law offices of Matthew Simone.